Good morning. It is March the 22nd, 2026, in the year of our Lord. And the title for my message is, Why Are You Late? And it comes from a very familiar, and I would even go so far as to say, famous passage from the Gospel of John. And just like last week, it is a long reading. In light of that, I'm going to be reading only from the New Testament. So John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. And when he heard this, Jesus said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, Let's go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you. And yet we're going back? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble. For they will see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. And after he had said this, he went on to tell them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, Let us also go, so that we may die with him. And on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was not coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who lives in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside and said, The teacher is here. And he's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied, and Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But, Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Why are you late? There is one thing we all do as human beings almost on a daily basis. For some, it's more than others. Most of us hate doing it. Often it is frustrating, it's aggravating, irritating, and sometimes outright exasperating. For some of us, it feels like it's an entire waste of time. We do it at the grocery store, at the doctor's office, in the drive-thru at a local Tim Hortons, or at an intersection with a long red light. And now today, because of all the nonsense with the federal government, you do it at the TSA at any airport in the country. Now you might be wondering, what is it that we all share, that we do on a daily basis, if you haven't guessed it already? It's waiting. That's right. Some have speculated that we wait almost 1 hour every single day of our lives. I don't know if that's true or not. Whether it's true or not, this is a salient fact. Most people don't like waiting, regardless of how patient they say they are. We live in a culture and a society where things are instantaneous, and that is never more true than now. We want quick fixes, and we want quick fixes, and we want to be in the know in real time. And maybe a good example of that is to go online and see what's going on in the world versus reading a newspaper in a hard copy the next day. When you read it the next day, it's already passed by a day or two. People want their news in real time. They want to be in the know. Just think of people living in a fast-paced city or people living in a rural community going along at their own pace. Think about driving in the passing lane, passing everyone. Or maybe you prefer to be in the right-hand lane, going the speed limit. Now, how many of you out there listening to this message remember the old proverb, "Good things come to those who wait"? Is it true? Can we truly believe that good things come to those who wait? You know, when I was a kid growing up in the 70s and probably in the early 80s, there was a commercial. Anticipation, anticipation, it's making me wait. The taste that's worth the wait. For some of you listening, you know I'm talking about Heinz ketchup. Now, how many of us have felt like we are waiting and we are waiting and we are waiting on God to maybe answer a prayer, to give us guidance and direction, to show us the way to go, to open a door for us or to close a door for us? We wait, we wait, we wait. And because of our waiting and our impatience, sometimes our spiritual life will take a hit. We'll struggle. And we'll struggle because it's what we don't see instead of what we want to see. Now, in that waiting period, there might be obstacles, there might be hurdles to overcome, and they might seem insurmountable for that fact. When the people we hold dearest to us in our lives, when they suffer, when they become ill, and I'm not talking about a cold or even the flu, though the flu can be serious. I'm talking about people who become very sick. And if that sickness leads to death, what are we to do? What are they to do? Some might say, well, we're still waiting on the Lord. So we wait and wait and we wait to hear anything from the Lord. And when we do finally hear, we might have the audacity to say to the Almighty, "Why are you so late?" Why does God sometimes wait And conversely, why does God sometimes make us wait? If you were a student of the Gospel of John, you come to the realization that Jesus uses 7 metaphors to describe who and what he is. Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life." Chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." Chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, "I'm the gate for the sheep." Chapter 10, verse 7. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." Chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." Chapter 11, verse 25 that I read earlier. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Chapter 14, verse 6. And lastly, Jesus said, "I am the true vine." Chapter 15, verse 1. If you remember anything from this message, remember this key takeaway. And this little takeaway I got from another pastor, I don't know his name, it was anonymous. No matter how long you wait, God is never late. That's an easy rhyme to remember. So let me say it again. No matter how long you wait, God is never late. Today's reading from the Gospel is one of the most famous and beloved in all the Bible. Personally, I think it's Christ's greatest miracle in his public ministry that he demonstrated towards people and crowds. Verse 1 sets the stage, and that stage is set insofar that Lazarus is sick. And then verse 5 tells us that Jesus loved Mary and Martha, his two sisters. When you read the Gospels, you realize that there is a close relationship and bond between Lazarus and his sisters with Jesus, because Jesus would often be entertained and would have meals in their home. And yet, because of that close bond and fellowship, you would think that when Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, well, Jesus would hightail it back. However, Jesus decides to use a modern colloquial phrase. Jesus decides to grab a sandwich. And he sits down and he grabs a Dr. Pepper and he decides to watch March Madness. In other words, don't take me literally, he decides to wait another 2 days before he makes his journey to Bethany. Now, in that 2-day waiting period, I can only imagine the anxiety and the desperation when Mary and Martha were waiting for Jesus. Where is he? Why isn't he here already? What is taking so long for him to get here? Doesn't he realize how sick Lazarus is? It's only a couple miles away from where he is. Sometimes waiting can be life and death. You know, in my home where I live on our TV, we have a DVR. And I think some of you listening know what a DVR, but if you don't, I'll explain it. A DVR is having the ability to record anything you want on your TV. A movie, a sporting event, a game show, a series, whatever. And the nice thing about DVRs is that you can always go back to them at your discretion and leisure, and you can fast forward through the commercials, and you can replay that game again and again and again. If we replay the sequence of the events that we read in this 11th chapter and the conversations that took place between Jesus and his own disciples and then between Mary and Martha, we learn some key Christian ideas. Number one is that God is glorified. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. All of this happens for the glory of God. The waiting, the wondering, so much happens in life for the glory of God. Sometimes we are aware of it, and other times we are completely unaware of it. Lazarus' sickness did not end up ultimately in his death. Now, he did die. Please, I realize that. The Gospel of John says that he was in the tomb for 4 days. So he was dead. Yet, Lazarus' first death was for the glory of God and for the glory of God's Son. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Of all the miracles performed by Jesus, it wasn't because he wanted attention. Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm Jesus from Nazareth. Nor was it because he was a show-off. Far from it. His miracles are signs so that his disciples and would-be disciples, that's you and I and many others, would believe in him. You see, when you see the larger picture in life and you look in the Bible at its totality and you look at the history of the Christian gospel, the glory of God is the trump card or checkmate. God's glory will always triumph over our desires, our wants, and even our preferences. And in the end, it is always God's timing when he will act, and not ours. What takes priority or is far more important than our healing, than our money, our job, even our family, it is the glory of God. We have to remember that we are the creature. We are not the creator. So when Jesus was approaching Jerusalem, and Holy Week, as we call it as Christians, was rapidly approaching, he knew beforehand that his suffering was going to be great. He knew that he would experience and have to endure pain unimaginable for most people. And he knew all of that. And we read where he says in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 23, the following, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Christ died not only for the love of lost sinners, but he died also for the glory of God. So if you are praying and you are not sure what to pray for or even what to do, we can always remember to pray the following, Father, glorify your name. So remember, remember that when you are waiting on the Lord. There's another reason why waiting on the Lord is so important, and it's also very simple. When we wait on the Lord, our faith is fortified. It is strengthened. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Who among us cannot sympathize with Mary and Martha? Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They both said almost identically the same comment. How many times have you and I said or thought to ourselves something very similar? Lord, if you had only done this, then this would not have happened. If you had only been with me, then things would have turned out differently. I think all of us can go back at certain key junctures and moments in our lives, and we could make that thought, or maybe even that assumption. If only the Lord was there, then things would have turned out differently. You know, Martha, in one sense, was right. If Jesus had been there, then her brother Lazarus would not have become sick and died. And if that is true, that also means that this glorious miracle would not have taken place. And that also means other people then as well as today would not believe in the Son of God. And that means that one of the greatest miracles in all of the pages of Scripture would never have been recorded. Now, I mentioned this before in other sermons over the years on this passage, that it was under the impression that some Jewish people believed that the spirit of the deceased stayed around the body, and that it wasn't until after the fourth day of death that the spirit would depart. I also want you to know that I have read enough commentaries where some, not all, but some commentators have explained this away. It's absolutely ridiculous. Their presumption and their bias automatically drives them to the conclusion that the supernatural is not possible with Almighty God. So some have posited the theory that it was a resuscitation by Jesus, that somehow Jesus was able to do some magical CPR on Lazarus' body. But the scripture is quite clear. It's 4 days a body was in a tomb with a stone rolled across the entrance. And not only that, but 4 days the body would begin to decompose. There would be a foul odor. At the bare minimum, a foul odor. You know, I remember many, many years ago coming to the faith. My mother had a King James Bible. And when I came to this passage in the Gospel of John, the reason it stands out is because of the language used to describe this. The King James says, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." Verse 39. "Lord, by this time he stinketh." That's what Martha would say to Jesus. Now, when your body begins to smell, not because you haven't used deodorant or you haven't taken a shower, when your body begins to smell and your body begins to decompose in a tomb, and your body stinketh, well, then you know for a fact that you are as dead as disco. All of this is the background to the great and profound statement made by Jesus Christ of Nazareth when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? That question was posed to Mary and Martha and those with them. And it's a question that is posed to you and I today. Do you believe this? Have you ever heard that colloquial phrase that we often use in our sports-crazed society? That's a game changer. When something happens in a sporting event, that's a game changer. Or maybe someone is having a conversation or a politician or whatever, and they say something very pertinent. That's a game changer. Well, maybe what Jesus said is a game changer for many of us. You know, all Orthodox and devout Jews of the first century into this present day, who believe in an afterlife, were of the persuasion that a coming resurrection was going to be had at the last day. The difference from that belief and the gospel is very simply this. Jesus was talking about today. Now, and not some distant tomorrow, when he was talking to Mary and Martha and those with him. He was talking about now, and not the future then. Now remember I mentioned a DVR and how we can replay a scene or a game or a movie? You know, when you think about it, Jesus' main concern wasn't necessarily Lazarus' death, because he was going to take care of that. Being the Son of God, being the creator of the cosmos, being able to walk on water, being able to tell the wind and the waves to be still, being able to drive out the demonic from human beings, being able to multiply fish and loaves, being able to turn water into wine. Well, when you can do all of that, His main concern was the faith of Mary and Martha, their faith in him as the Son of God, their faith in him as Christ the Messiah. So I say to everyone listening, no matter what you are facing today in your life, and no matter what you are going through, the question is this: do you trust him in the middle of all that you're going through, with what you're facing? Do you trust him? That is a question that only you can answer. Do you continue to believe in him? God's glory and our faith will always go together. When you and I choose to believe God, even when everything else around us tells us not to, when you choose to trust God, even when you can't see him, feel him, or hear him, God is glorified nonetheless. Good things do come to those who wait on the Lord. God is never late, and when you and I wait on him, great things can happen. Amen.